Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Tzadi Zayin, and we are on Tzadi Vav Amabez, towards the bottom, a couple of lines up from the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amabez. We started yesterday the parak of Almana Nizonis, and that is relating to issues of Almana collecting her Ksuba from the Yesomim, and what happens to the Maisi Adayim, which a couple of Prakim in our Masechta have discussed. We left off discussing the Ibaya, the question that was asked on the bottom of Tzadi Vav and Aleph, going over by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked, who is Muchzak in the properties? That's the question. Meaning, if there is a question of whether the woman got paid yet from the Yarshim's property, from the estate, I shouldn't say the Yarshim's property, from the property, the question is, whose property is it? Who's considered the Muchzak in the estate? And therefore, the opposite party would have to bring the raya, would be the motzi, because as we know, the rule is hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. Whoever is the one who is motzi is the one that has to bring the raya. So the Gemara asked, are the nechasim nechse becheskas yasmi kaimi? Are they in the property of the yesomim, or is it nechasim becheskas almana kaimi, and the yesomim would have to bring the raya? So the Gemara said, maybe it's a machlokas tanaim. Why? We had a brisa that had a machlokas between the Tanakh, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says whenever a woman sells property from the estate for Zonos, for Ksuba, she has to specify what she sold it for. She has to write in the shtar, this I sold for Mizonos, this I sold for Ksuba. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's better for her to just write it, I sold it, and not write what she sold it for. So what is that machlokas about? So the Gemara suggested, maybe that's good for the machlokas, whether nechasim or becheskas yasmi or becheskas sa. Maybe that's the right. And then the more specific you have to be, so that would be because she is the motzi. And if it's if she's not the motzi, then she wouldn't have to be specific. So isn't that a machlokas tanoim? So the Gemara says, no, maybe it's not a machlokas tanoim. Maybe there's a different issue. Maybe it's all Eitza Tova. So now what we're up to is another answer to that question. Another suggestion. What is that machlokas about? Assuming that it's not about Becheskas Yasmi or Becheskasa. So the Gemara says, six lines up from the bottom, Inami, or another way to interpret the machlokas, not being the issue of our question, to kule alma nichse becheskas yasmi kaimi. Really, everyone agrees that the nechasim are becheskas yasmi, and she, the woman, is being the motzi. When the man dies, it automatically goes to the yesomim, not to her, even though she has rights, and even though she has a ksuba, and even though there's a chiyamizonos based on a takanas chachamim, even though those are all true, but that doesn't mean that the nechasim switch cheskak muchzakus. It stays the yesomim's, and they have to pay her. So if there's a question whether they paid her or not, right? Let's say she says, they say, I paid you for the following year already, as Rashi explained yesterday, and she says no, so she has to bring the raya. So the question is then, what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? If she is the motzi, so why is it better for her to not specify what she bought it for? So if we understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, because she specifies that she got it for Mizonos and not for Ksuba, so that's why when she comes, so they know specifically she never got the Ksuba yet. So even though she's the Motzi, she has a Raya that she didn't collect the Ksuba yet. All the stuff that she sold was for Mizonos. The question is, though, what about Rabbi Yossi Shita? If we say that everybody holds Becheskas Yasmi, why would we say that being unclear is better? So, says the Gemara, Hainatayma de Rabbi Yossi, Kita Abaya Kishisha, to Amar Abaya Kishisha, the elder Abaya says, Mashal de Rabbi Yossi, Lama de Verdome, what is the Mashal of Rabbi Yossi, meaning why does it give her the upper, why does it allow her to be stronger? By not saying anything as follows, the Mashal to the case in Baba Basra, L'shchiv Meira, Sha'amar Tznuma Saim Zuz, L'ploni Bal Chovi, someone's on his deathbed, L'shchiv Meira, who we discussed earlier in this Masechta, how exactly that works. Shchiv Meira. Do you not need a kinyan? Is it as if it is a kinyan? So that was discussed in the Tosfos earlier in the Masechta. So Shchiv Meira that says, in unusual lashon, he tells his kids, give 200 zuz to Ploni, my balchov. What's the problem with that sentence? It starts off with a lashon of matana, which sounds like a gift, and it ends up with a lashon of balchov. I owe. So which is it? Is it, does the Shchiv Meira mean that he wants to give a matana to the third party? Or does he owe him? So the Gemara says, Ratza b'chovo notzlan, Ratza b'matana notzlan. Which Rov Rishonim say means, he means both. He wants to give both. The fact that he uses both means he really wants to give 400. He gives 200 he owes, and 200 he wants to give, and that's what it means. The person, the receiver, can accept it for either one, and the other one will still be outstanding. He'll still owe him for the lien, or he'll still owe him for the gift. So it's either, but we assume that it would be both, right? See, Tosfos on the bottom, Raza Bechovo Notzlan, Raza Matana Notzlan, Pirish Shnehem Notzlan. Right, you take both. Ela klomar, ratza bechovo notzlan, mi b'nei chori, v'shuv lo yuchal likvos hamatanim mimeshabdi. Either he could take this 200 for his balchov, and then the matana he would not be able to take from mishubadim, because gifts are never taken from mishubadim. Shemachi ka'amar, notzla v'matana, lokach yafek kocho. And that's why, in the next line, well, let's read the next line of the Gemara for a second. Ibe matana notzlan lokach yafek kocho. And if he takes it as matana, doesn't that make it stronger for him? Why? Because if he takes it as the gift one, so then the balchov is still outstanding, and that could be taken even from lekuchos, even from mishubadim, people that have bought property from this nosei. If he took this 200 as the balchov, then he doesn't have as much strength. Because what's left? The gift, but the gifts cannot be taken from mishubadim, right? Because there wasn't a moment in time that the chiv started earlier. So that's how Tosfos understands the Gemara. There is a day in the Ritva that the Ritva argues on, that says maybe this means he has the choice what to take it, not that it's both. Which is what the language sounds like. The Gemara sounds like that it's either or, but that's not how the Rishonim understand it. Most Rishonim assume that this means both. So, that is the mashal. The question is, what does this have to do with us? What does it have to do with Rabbi Yossi Shita? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, so too here. If she does not specify, she sells properties, and she doesn't specify exactly what it was for, so that works to her benefit, even though the Nechasa Rebbe Cheskas Yasmi Kaimi. Why? Because she could always say to Lekuchos, who she wants to go back to, everything I got was for my Mizonos. And now I want to get my ksuba. And my ksuba predates I got married before you bought this property from my husband. And therefore it's better for her to be anonymous. Didn't we say yesterday, Rashi notes, that the Yesomim could say, well, we gave it to you for, if it's Becheskas Yasmi, they could say, well, what you took was for your ksuba, not Mizonos. So Rashi explains, well, let her have Edim for some of the properties that she sold. See Rashi on the fourth line. Yecholahi lahamid edim sheyiru es hanimkar limizonos. Let her have some edim for the properties that she sold for her mizonos. V'imtetzarech lekach yavo v'yaidu. If the Yarshim say, well, everything you sold was for the ksuba, so we're finished, so we'll bring these edim. The edim will say, no, it wasn't. Right? It was for the mizonos. So those edim will help her not be excluded from the ksuba, because you'll see some of the ksuba is left, and that part she'll be able to go to Baalei Chovos and collect. Rebbe Sanimka, the ksuba, lo todia, b'nei lekuchos, and anything that might have been sold for the ksuba, she won't say a word to the lekuchos. So that's why another way to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, even if both of them hold, nechasim are becheskas yasmi kaimi, right? Which one, the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? It's always better, but if she collected some for the ksuba, but then if she writes that she can't collect that amount for the ksuba. She doesn't write anything for the ksuba, then the whole ksuba is still outstanding. She could say it's all for mizonos. Right? And that's where Rabbi Yossi says it's better. You don't want to specify, because then it might be used up. She won't be able to go back to Lekuchos. Lekuchos will say you already got some of the ksuba. But if she doesn't specify, then it's all open. So Gemara says, Kesan Mocheres. So we know that a woman is able to sell properties to be able to have mizonos right before she gets remarried. Her husband died, she gets to get supported, tanai ksuba. So how do you do it, asks the Gemara. How much does she sell at a time? We know she can't sell a tiny amount at a time, but she can't sell a ton at a time. So kesan mocheres, right, the language of the Shulchan Kubetzes is that you have to find a balance, right, not making it hard for her, but not making the yesomim lose money. Right, the la'eser says Rabbeinu Yehonasan in the Shita. The la'eser shanin pshita lanta in a mocheres l'mazonos. We're not going to let her sell mazonos the next 10 years. Sell property, why? To Dilma mintsava beintaya. Maybe she'll get remarried in the interim. V'su les l'mazone. That she doesn't get mazonos anymore once she gets remarried. So number one, we're not going to let her sell for 10 years. What about the opposite? Inami to Dilma mesel, or maybe she'll die in the middle. V'nimsa shif sidu hayisomim shelo kedin. So we're not going to sell it herself for 10 years. V'lo nuchal nami lomar, shelo timkar elo lechodesh echad bilvad. But you also can't say that we only let her sell for a month. Why? Lefisha ein adam matsui sheyikach karka kol shukazeh. Because it's not so common to find somebody that will buy such a small amount. Right? And he'll charge there a lot for such a small amount. So, what is it? Ela lekama chadashim roi shetim kar b'vasachas. So a couple of months is good. So what does a couple of months mean? That's the question of the Gemara. So the Shimon Kubetz lays out the question for us. 10 years is too much, 1 month is too little. So what's a nice medium number that could work for the sale? So Ketzan Mocheres, Amar Rabbi Daniel Barav Katina, Amar Rav Huna, Mocheres Achas L'Shneimasar Chodesh. Right, once a year. Once a year, enough for a year. V'lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shalshem Yom. And after she sells it, that money doesn't all go to her. It goes to a Mefarnes, goes to a third party, a shlish, like we had earlier, and he gives her every 30 days. Every month she gets the allowance. Why? Why does he give all of it to her? Because again, let's say she gets remarried and she already has had stuff that she wasn't supposed to use yet. So 1 month at a time, that is what the Gemara says is good. Letovas Hayarshim. Letovas Hayarshim. The Ritva adds, if the Bezdin sees that it has to be a little bit modified, so they'll do that. But you have to again find the balance between both parties. V'Rav Yehuda Amar Mocheres L'Shisha Chadashim. No, just sales for 6 months. V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shloshim Yom. Not a year and a month, but 6 months and a month. Right, every 6 months is a good amount of time, says Rav Yehuda. Tani Kavasi D'Rav Huna, and there's a brice that supports each of these shitos. A brice that supports Rav Huna Mocheres L'Shem Asar Chodesh V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shloshim Yom. A year, Tani Gavasi Rabbi Yehuda Mocheres L'Shisha Chadashim V'Lokeach Mefarnes Achas L'Shloshim Yom. Right, 6 months. Where does a year come from? This just might be a Majus Machlokas Bemetzius, and that what is a good way that you could get the best deal. But we know years are important in marriage as well. This is post marriage, but we know the concept of Shana Rishona. Right, that's there's something about a year. Something about a year. We know the mitzvah of marriage is a mitzvah of marriage. Number one, right, the Machlokas Rambam Rush, we discussed way back, first parak of Inksubis, where there's a mitzvah to get married, but separate from the mitzvah of marriage, we know the Pasuk says in Parshas Kiseitse, right, he has to be home with his wife as much as possible for Shana Rishona. So you see, years mean something. Means something in halacha. All the different machlokos within that. What about for business? What about if she's mocheles? Discussions within that. But a year is significant. Anniversaries? I don't know. It's always a good reason to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in terms of the year, you see that. So maybe that's just like the year at the beginning of marriage. This is the year after marriage. It could just be lemaisa what these Amoraim think is the best balance to have between the sales. But either way, that is the brisa that supports Rav Huna. Tani kavasid Rav Yehuda, mocheres l'shisha chadashim, lokech mefarnes achas l'shloshim yom. Fine. Machlokas. Amar ameimar, hilchasa, mocheres l'shisha chadashim, lokech mefarnes achas l'shloshim yom. So, that is the halacha l'maisa, says the ameimar, that it's the 6 month sale. Amar le Rav Ashi la ameimar, to Rav Huna mai. Ameimar, you just said the halacha is the 6 months. What about Rav Huna? Doesn't Rav Huna say the year? So what's the question? But it's a machlokas. He chose one of them. So why are you asking me about the other shita? Say the achronim, well, Rav Huna was the Rebbe of the two. So maybe that's the question. How are you possibly like the Talmud and not like the Rebbe? Right? Rav Huna is the Rebbe. So why is that, why do you automatically jump to the ladder? Amar Lei, he says, Lo Sham Yali, Klomer Lo Svirli. Okay, I argue. Right? We find different rules in Psak for halacha kabasroi. We sometimes find. Halacha is like the later opinions. What are the later opinions? Aren't the earlier opinions always the ones that know better? The Rebbe? So the answer is it doesn't always work that way. Right? When we're talking about within Chazal, within Taram and Amaran, they all know. And you're able sometimes to say that you follow the later generation, you follow the follow the Talmud. There are halachas in Shulchan Aruch about how a Talmud is allowed to argue on their Rebbe, how a son is allowed to argue on their father. They're never allowed to say, you're wrong. You have to say it in a mechubad way. Did it? You teach me. I thought, etc. Doesn't it say? But me'ikar adin, if the son or the Talmud thinks that the Rebbe is wrong, so he's allowed to, and he maybe even has an obligation to say his opinion. Okay, boy mine me Rav Sheshes. Next, they ask from Rav Sheshes, mahu mocheres lemizonos, mahu shetachzer v'tichav l'ksuba. Let's say a woman sells some property for mizonos. Fine. While she is still single in the state that she's not collecting her ksuba yet, but then one day she wants to collect her ksuba. And ksuba can be collected from lekuchos. Can she, the buyer won't be too happy about this, but can she go back to those same properties that she sold to make money for mizonos and go collect those properties from the people who she sold them to? Well, it's time for me to accept my ksuba. And there's no other properties left here, so I want to go and collect the property that I sold you. So Masha talks or Matitrov Liksuba. Says the Ritva, this is not the same. I know in the back of your mind, some of you are thinking about a similar case that we had a couple of days ago. Right, it's not exactly the same that what we had a week ago. Remember we had the case of Reuven sold to Shimon without Achrayas. Shimon sold it back to Reuven with Achrayas. And then it was taken from him, and can he go back? So the Ritva says, you don't have to say that this is exactly, just in case we were thinking about that case, it's not the same exact case of that. Ubevadai, tahai plukta lo shaycha biplukta derava v'rami barchama de la'el. Don't think this is exactly the same, that if you say there, he can't go back, so here too you would say she can't go back. It's not exactly the same. Why? Tiafilu l'rami barchama, da'amar hasam lo mechai v'achrayas denavshe. Even Rami Barchama, who says that he's not obligated and he can go back, because he's not obligated for his own achrayas, there, if you remember the case, Reuven sold to Shimon without Achrayas. Shimon sold it back to Reuven with Achrayas. So there's at least an opinion that says Reuven can demand it back, and even though it's kind of ironic that he's the one that sold it to him, why? Because he beferish sold it without Achrayas. So without Achrayas means it without even his own Achrayas. Here, there wasn't anything specific that the woman did. Umashayenkein bezu shemachrastam. So, on the one hand, over there, it was Beferish Shalom Ba'achrayas. And that's why here you might say that she cannot go and take it. And then the Ritva says, in the other direction also, V'yafilu l'Rava, and even Rava, who said earlier that he does accept, and therefore he cannot go back and take it. Come on, you sold it, so you're going to go and take it? So, Hasamu l'fisha machla b'shalom amish. There is worse, because he sold his own property. So if you sold your own property, that's called Achrayas Shalcha, you can't. Here, the woman didn't sell her own. She sold the estate's property. She sold her dead husband's, or the Yesomim's. So maybe it's better. It's not exactly her. She sold it on behalf of her husband, the Yesomim. So the Ritva says in either direction, you wouldn't have to say that. Whatever you say there, you say here. Even though it's a somewhat similar case. Remember, that case was on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph on a base, going off the Tzadi base of an Aleph. So the Ritva notes that whatever you said there does not have to be said here. Okay, so let's get back to this question. Let's read it again. Boi minei merav sheishas. Mocheres l'mazonos v'ashataksa v'titra f'l'ksuba. She sold property A, and now she wants to go get that property back for her ksuba. Kami boi l'hu b'dir av Yosef. And a little background to the question, the Gemara says, has to do with the following sheet of Rav Yosef. The Amar of Yosef. Ar malta dezavin achrayas ayasmi. Let's say the widow sold property, and she's not going to collect it. But a different Baal Chov of the father is going to collect it. Fine, who do those Lekuchos go back to? They go back to her? No, they don't go back to her. They go back to the Yesomim. Or she sold property, and now there's a Baal Chov of her husband. Who does the Baal Chov go to? The Baal Chov goes to the Yesomim. Beidina Dezavin, if Bezdin sells property on her behalf, Achray Sayasmi. They go back to the Yesomim. So if that's all true, so now the question is, what if she goes back? Right? That's why it's a shayla mai. Kiva da achrayas ayasmi tarfa. Do we say that since she is the one that sold, but the achrayas is on the Yesomim, so she herself can go get it? Because why? This buyer will go back to the Yesomim also. Do you say that? Which is a fascinating suggestion. When else do you have a case where one person has rights to sell, but the achrayas is on someone else? It's like an arev. It's like a cosigner, but usually an arev is secondary. You can go there second. Here you can go there first. So do we say that she could sell, and then they could go back to the Yesomim? O dilma, no. Or we say, matzi amri la, they, the buyers, could say to her, nehida achrayas da alma lo kabilisi lavech. Fine, you didn't accept upon yourself achrayas of other ba'alei chov. And we would have to go back to the Yesomim for that. But achrayas da nafshach milo kibule kabilis. But your own achrayas? You sold it to us. Come on, you're not taking it back from us. So that's the Shiloh. So Amar Lei Tani Tua, we learned it in a Braisa. Mocheres veholeches ad kedei ksubasa. The Braisa says that she could be mocheres, she could sell properties for her mizonos for getting food up until the amount of the ksuba. She should leave the estate with the amount that's owed for her ksuba. The semech law, and she relies on it as security, should take the ksubasa min ashar, that she relies on whatever's left to collect the ksuba from. That is the Brisa. So what do you see from there? Why did the Brisa say that? Why did the Brisa say she can sell everything and then take it again? Brisa doesn't say that. So shva mina, shire in, lo shire lo. So it sounds like it is only if she left over, if she sold it, she would not be able to go get it, because she accepts her own achrayas. That's what it sounds like in this understanding of the Gemara. There is another pshat. We're going with Rashi pshat, just to be aware what the language of ad kedei ksubasa means. The riffs pshat means she could sell mizonos up until the amount that her ksuba is worth, because the language of the ritva explaining the riff is the tnai ksuba can't be stronger than the ksuba itself. And if the ksuba is only up to 200, so then the tnai ksuba can't be more than that. That's the language of the ritva, but it's the riff. But we're going to go with Rashi's pshat, that the Gemara means that she leaves over, she has to leave over enough of the ksuba. So why? So it must be because she won't be able to collect it if she had sold that. It's a raya that she's responsible for her own achrayas. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe fundamentally she could sell even more, and there could be nothing left, and then she could collect it from her buyers. So why does the Braisa say otherwise? The Braisa is just giving good advice. The Dilma Eitza Tova Kamash Malan. The Braisa is just giving her good advice. Dilo Likri La Hadra Nisa. So she doesn't get a bad reputation. Oh, that woman, she sells stuff, gets it back, she takes it. So it's a bad reputation if she's going to have to do this. So the Braisa suggests, you know, leave it, don't sell it all. But in Achinami, if you did, you can, right? So our question is not answered. Let's just finish the line. Imkein listeni govek subasa min ashar. If that's true, that really she can, so why doesn't the Braisa say that? Collect from the shar. My samachla. Samachla sounds like it's even li'ikuva. This is what she relies on, right? And when she leaves it over. Shvamino shiri in lo shiri lo. Doesn't sound like it's just an Eisa Tova, says the Gemara. It sounds like it's something more serious, that she has to leave over what is there. Rabbi Yashiv points out that this is an unusual form of an Eisa Tova. Eisa Tova usually means, well, you might as well, there's no downside. That's what Eisa Tova usually means. Like we had even on yesterday's daf. Eitza Tova means it's not hurting you, so you might as well. So Rabbi Yashiv says this is a little more different Eitza Tova, because this is hurting her, right? There's a limit. There's a limit to what she's allowed to do. And even if she wants to sell more, the Eitza Tova is saying, you know, it's really better not to. We also see from here that we are concerned about reputation. Where we're concerned, we don't want her to be looked down upon in the eyes of others. And Halacha always takes this into account, about people looking down on others in both directions. The others are the person themselves, right? There's a concept called Dan Lekav Schus. This guy said that we have to try to look up at everyone else, right? It's a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah daraisa even, according to Chazal. B'tzedek tishpat amisecha. We have to look positively at others, but also regarding the person themselves. They can't do something that makes themselves look bad. Right, the concept of Maris Ayin, or the concept of Chshad. We discussed the difference between those concepts in the past. Chshad especially, what's Chshad? The Gemara says in the second parak in Shabbos, that in the days of old, this applied, not anymore, but if somebody has windows on opposite sides of their house, you have to light a menorah, you have to light a Chanukiah in both windows. Why? Because somebody's going to think that you didn't light a menorah, they only walk on one side. Somebody's going to think that? So he's wrong! It's his chiyuv to be down l'kav schus! Doesn't matter. No, I have a chiyuv to not make it hard for them to be down l'kav schus. I have to do that. Right? The Mishnah says in Shkalim, the Mishnah says that when the Kohen went in to be Torah, to take the money from the Trumas Halishka, to take money out for the Karbanos, he had to wear clothing that did not have any pockets, no cuffs on the bottom, nowhere where he could hide money. Why? Because the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, V'nim sachein v'seichel tov, b'nei Elokim v'adam. Everything we have to do has to be good in the eyes of Hashem, but also in the eyes of people. We can't make it hard. So it's a balance. If everybody would fulfill that everything would be beautiful. Right? If everybody would make it things not look bad, what they do, and everybody would be dalakav schlus, we'd all get along, they'd be achdus, and we'd have Mashiach. But the problem is that both of us, need work, right? We do things that don't look so good, and, you know, we don't judge people as we would want to be judged. So we all have what to work on in those areas. But here the Gemara has that idea also of Eitza Tova. We don't want her to look like a Hadra Nisa. Fine. So we answer the question, she cannot go. Ibai Lahu. Now we have a general question about Shtaros. There is a shy, the Rishonim discuss what exactly is this doing here. It has to do with selling property, but it's not exactly connected, so we will do it. Ibai Lahu. Zabin Melestricha Lezuze. What happens if somebody sold property because they needed some cash, and then it ended up being that they don't need any cash? The reason that they needed the cash fell apart. They were going to buy something, and that thing is not for sale anymore. So they want to go back on their original sale. But they didn't make an explicit condition, so can they go back? Hadri zvini, olo hadri zvini. Right, this is the sugya of Dvarim Shebelev. Right, do we say that it can go back or not? Let's do the Gemara, and then we'll do the Tosis, which we already referred to. Tashma, the hu gavar dezavin arlor of papa. Somebody sold land to Rav Papa that he needed money to go buy some oxen. And at the end, he didn't need it. Rav Papa gave it back. So you see, you give it back, even though it's not mafurish. Don't you give it back? So the answer is, he can't bring rice from Rav Papa. Rav Papa, lifnim, mishuras adin, uda'avid. Rav Papa went above and beyond. Lifnim, mishuras adin. But really, it didn't have to be done. Is that a pasuk in Chumash that you have to go lefnim mishur sadin, or is that just an extra chumrah? Right, so that the Ramban says is a pasuk in Chumash. Well-known Ramban. The Ramban, many times throughout the Torah, takes psukim that are very general, that many other Rishonim, like the Rambam, thinks are nice general psukim, be a good person, and the Ramban emphasizes that these are basic yesodos of our emuna. This one is the Asisa Hayashav Atov, Parshas Vayeschanan. The Rabban says, the Pasuk tells us that you have to do what's right and good in the eyes of Hashem. What does that mean? Do what's right. What do you mean do what's right? Do the mitzvos. What does the Torah mean? Do what's right. Says the Ramban, because it's impossible for the Torah to say every single situation what to do. It's impossible. Well, the Torah is going to write in every single case. So the Ramban says, this Pasuk is referring to Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. But the Ramban has a little different interpretation. Usually we understand Lifnim Mishuras Hadin as, you really don't have to do it. You don't have to do it, but you want to be machmir, you could do it. The Ramban says Lifnim Mishuras Hadin means that you should do it. It's not obligatory in the Torah, but you should do it. Like Rav Papa here, it's the right thing to do, right? Vasisa Hayasher Vahatov. Says the Rabban, Lefi she'i efshar lahazkir batorah, kol hanhagas ha'adam, im shcheina v'reyav. It's impossible for the Torah to write all of the hanhagas of a person, with his neighbors, with his friends, v'chol ma'sa'o matano, v'tikuni ha'yishuv amdinas kulam. It's impossible. After the Torah writes a bunch, the Torah writes, lo se'lech rachil, lo tikom v'lo titar, lo samar adam reyacha, mipnei seva takum. It writes a lot of them. Then the Torah says, chazar lomar b'derach klal, shi'yaseh ha'tov ha'yashar b'chol davar, ad shi'ikanis bazeh ha'pshara v'lifnim mishuras adin. So the Rambam blurs the lines, but he calls this lifnim mishuras adin. So here too, on the books, is it an obligation? No, it's not an obligation. And that's why you can't bring a raya from this case. But it's the right thing to do. And that's why Rav Papa did Lefnei Mishur Hazadin. Similarly, Tashma, Tiyahu Batsurta, Dahavis Ben Arda, there was a shortage. There was a shortage in Arda of grain. Savninu Kuliyama La Padnayu. So all the people in Arda sold their palaces. They sold because they needed money, they needed food. Wasof Asu Chiti. Guess what? And then, before they really even needed, they got the money, they were going to buy wheat, and then the wheat came. There was a boat that brought wheat. So Amar Lehu Rav Nachman, Dinehu Dahadri Apadra Lamarayu, give back the palaces. So there was wheat. So you see there. So you see from there that it's the Dvarim Shebelev, it would work, and if he could get it back. So the Gemara again says, no, there's different. Hasam Nami Zvini Betos Avi. Now there it was a mistake. It was a Mekach Tos. Why? De Igloi Milsa Da Arva Ba'akule Havikama. The boat was already there. The boat was in the port, just nobody knew about it. The wheat was there. So that's different. The Ritva explains beautifully. Not the Ritva, some achronim in the B'Rei Lav explain. There's a difference between our cases that we're asking about and this case of Toz. What were the cases earlier? You need the money today. Fine, then you make the sale, and then 2 days later, something changes and you don't need the money anymore. At the moment of the sale, you needed the money, but something changed afterwards. That case is not answered. What's the case here? Even at the moment of the sale, you didn't need the money. You just didn't know about it yet. That's different. You were just lacking information at that moment. So that's not the question of the Gemara. The question of the Gemara is, can you go back based on something that happens tomorrow? And it's as if it's there was a tonight. But here is different, because at the moment in time, you just didn't know about a certain reality that already existed. So let's just finish, and then there's a lot to talk about. Ihachi. And the Gemara says, if this is true, according to Rashi, this is not a question, this is just a continuation. If this is true, that it was all a mistake, and Rav Nachman let it be retracted, because of this, we understand the exclamation that was made to him. Hainu da'amar le'rami bar Shmuel Rav Nachman. Imkei Rav Nachman, if you always say you could go back, nimseis machshilon la'selavo, then you're causing things to be problematic in the future. Why? Because whenever anybody buys something, they're not going to want to buy it. Maybe there's a boat out there that has what you need. So you're ruining the whole business ability of buying and selling, because people are always going to be nervous. Oh, there's a certain reality that exists now that I don't know about, and therefore he's going to go back on the sale. So he's nervous about that. Why does he make that exclamation? Because that's what Rav Nachman paskin. Because you always go back if that's a metzius. And what was the continuation of the conversation? Amar le ati kol yoma b'tzorta shchicha. What are there shortages every day? Don't be worried about this. Not everybody's selling their everything, their palaces every day. So Amalei answers him, yeah, in. But Surta ben Arda, Mishka Shlicha. It happens pretty often in Arda. And that's why he was nervous about it. But we understand the conversation based on how we understood Rav Nachman. Hilchasa, v'hilchasa, zabin v'lestricha le'zuze, hajri zvini. That's what we paskin. If he sold that he didn't need the zuz in the end, hajri zvini. Not only if there was a reality he didn't know about, but even if something happens afterwards. Tosfos here discusses... We usually quote this from a Tosfos in Maseches Kiddushin, but really Tosfos says it's in more than one place. Tosfos quotes the earlier Rishonim, the Rashbam, the Ri. Tosfos says here, there are really three types of cases when it comes to Dvarim Shebelev. This is one of the important Gemaras. There are five different Gemaras in Shas, and Tosfos always puts them together. Kiddushin Mem Tesem Abeis, Ksubis Sadi Zayin, three cases. There's one type of case where it is, but what's Tosfos' question? We know there's a concept called Mishpatei HaTznoim. Whenever you make a t'nai, you have to make it a full t'nai. You have to say both. You have to say, if this, then this. And if not, then that. And you have to say the positive before the negative. All these different rules and regulations about making conditions. That's not in our Gemara. Nothing in our Gemara about t'naiim. So you don't even have to make a t'nai explicitly, let alone to make the super t'nai. So what's going on here? So Tosfos says there are three types of cases. There are some cases that are totally, totally obvious. Totally obvious that you're doing it on... with something in mind, and what's called Dvarim Shebelevo Belev Kol Adam, and therefore, for that, you don't even have to say anything. It's b'meila known. If somebody sells all of their property because they don't think they have any children, and then a week later, their long-lost son walks in, so you get it back, and the deal is not done. You undo it. Why? Because it's obvious. Person doesn't want to give away all of his property if he knows he has a child. So we have those types of cases, right? Which might be our case if he didn't say anything. But also, why there's a shortage. That's why you're selling your house. That's why I'm doing that. On the other side, there are cases which are totally not obvious. Totally not obvious. I sell you something, and I really only have condition that if it rains tomorrow, I'm selling it to you. Totally not obvious. So for that, you need not only a tznai, but you need mishpatei tznaim. You need everything. And then you have some cases in the middle, where it's a gilui das, to discuss the case. Somebody sells property because he's making aliyah. So... he doesn't say it beferish, the Mishpatei HaTznoim, but nobody would do that, but that's not as clear as having a son. So Tosfos goes through those three types of cases. So Tosfos here assumes that our Gemara is not like the case of the son, and that's why what does Tosfos say in Zavin? Kigon Shegila Daito. This is a middle type of case. That's what Tosfos has to say, that here he was Megala something. You don't need full Mishpatei HaTznoim. But he was Megala his das a little bit. B'shas ha-mecher, to'amar deliz viture kazavin lehu, tishasek avin lehu dvarm shebelev. Right? Because if he didn't say anything, that is totally not obvious that you need Mishpatei HaTznoim. So that's a very important Tosfos, the three types of cases. Good. The Chashuk Yechemen here discusses the issue of, so if there's something, there's a reality at the moment, but you just don't know it, so then you can go back. So there's two of them here, but I'll just read you the second one. Listen to this case. Shayla, Reuven and Shimon buy lottery tickets every single day, and they haven't won because they haven't won. They get together and they realize, we mentioned this chazal last week, that mazlo de betray adif. Right? The mazlo of two Jews together is better than the mazlo of one Jew together. So you know what they say? You know what? Let's make shutfis. We'll each buy the lottery tickets, but it'll be for both of us. So whatever, if either of us win, so then we'll split the proceeds. Great? Wonderful. So one day, Reuven gets his lottery ticket, and he finds out that, I guess, the winning numbers before Shimon does, and Reuven realizes that he was zocheh in 50,000 shekel. So he goes over to Shimon and his friend and says, Shimon, you know what? Let's just do it separate today. Let's just do it separate today, you know, no, just in case, you know, let's just do it separate. Shimon's like, okay, fine. So he gets fine. Later that day, Shimon's ticket also wins 100,000 shekel. So now, Reuven goes and says, well, you know, we were partners, and Shimon says, I know you said that, you know, you wanted to be separate. The problem is, let's go to step one. Reuven goes and says, let's separate. If Shimon had known that Reuven's ticket was worth 50,000 shekel at the time, he wouldn't, that was a metzius that he didn't know about. So maybe you should say the whole thing is a mekach tos and they're still partners. Because even step one didn't work. So, says Rav Zilberstein, and you have to say, okay, come on, he's a bad guy. Okay, but halachically, how does it work? So Rav Zilberstein paskens at the end, he says, you should say on the surface that maybe it doesn't work. But he says, l'chora, he says, our case is not a mekach tos. L'chora is not a mekach tos. Why? Because it's efshel levarer at that moment. Right, we only say that, oh, it's a mekach tos and the whole thing goes back if you didn't know about it and you couldn't have known about it. But if you could have known about it at the time, you knew the lottery took place already. How does Reuven know the answer and you don't know the answer yet? It must be that Shimon could have and everybody could have, but they just didn't. So efshel levarer, you don't say mekach tos there. Therefore, it's split. He gets the 100,000 and he gets the 50,000. So Shalom al Yisrael, it all works out. But that is one case. He has another case here. You can look. Somebody promises somebody's very sick, and they make a neder at Stucca. They say, you know, the best doctor that's needed is in Chutz La'aretz on vacation. So he's like, man, I'll give this amount to Stucca if he could just come back sooner on his vacation. And they didn't realize he did, and he walked into the room like 10 minutes later. Does he have to give all that amount to Stucca? There was a metzius that he wasn't aware of. Okay, that's the discussion there. Feel free to look at it. Weiter, says the Mishnah. Almana. Beimena erusin beimena nisuin mocheres shelo bebezdin, an almana, whether she's selling properties from erusin, which means she's only selling for her ksuba, or mina nisuin, meaning selling for mizonos, so then she could sell even outside of bezdin, even outside of bezdin. Rabbi Shimon Omer mina nisuin mocheres shelo bebezdin. Rabbi Shimon says only mizonos. Mina nisuin she could sell out of Bezdin. What, she's got to go to Bezdin every time she needs some money from Mizonos? Min ha'erisin, lo timkar ela be'Bezdin. Rabbi Shimon says, if it's erisin, if it's just the ksuba, you got to do that in court. Mipnei she'en lo Mizonos, v'chol she'en lo Mizonos, lo timkar ela be'Bezdin. Right, Rashi explains the ikar difference here is between Mizonos and ksuba. That's the difference between erisin and nisuin. So again, the Tanakhama says she could do everything outside of Bezdin. Rabbi Shimon says, only for Mizonos and not for ksuba. Says the Gemara, Bishlama min hanisuin, fine min hanisuin, I understand why she could sell outside of Bezdin, let's say for the Tanakama, Misha Mizone. Ella min ha'erisin, my taima, but why min ha'erisin? She's just selling for the ksuba. So why do we allow her, according to the Tanakama, to sell outside of Bezdin? It's always more secure, do it in Bezdin. Bezdin is aware and watches over how much, so why? Machlokes, Omar, Ula, Mishum, China. We had that a few times already. What does Chain mean? We want to make sure the women get married. And therefore, if a woman knows that she's going to have to schlep to court to collect her ksuba, maybe she'll be less interested in getting married. Right? It's not so easy to go to court and all the fees and the just being there. So, we say the woman can collect the ksuba even outside of Bezdin. That's Chain. Right, that's what the number one. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, Lefi She'ein Adam Rotzeh Shetispazo Ishto BeBezdin. Rabbi Yochanan says, because we can assume that the husband does not want to make his wife be embarrassed and in public, in court, to schlep to Bezdin to get it. So that's why we say she collect it she could collect it even outside of Beis Din, right? And the Shita again says shelo yomru, that people, like maybe even other people, shouldn't say that. Oh, look at her! She's the husband. She's the wife of so and so. She's schlepping in court. I'll read you the lashon of the Shita. Kedei shelo tisbazeh v'yomru zuhi arusa shehaisa miploni sheholeches b'shvakim uberchavos. Right, she has to walk through the street. She has to go be in public. So says the where am I worried that people are going to say that? So number one is chayin. Number two is shelo tisbazeh. May be nayu l'may nafkamina ikibe nayu grusha. Grusha is an afkamina. Why? L'manda amar mishum china. According to the reason of chayin, so grusha nami by a chayin. So we want, even this grusha, we want people to know, to get remarried. And if the woman knows originally that she's going to have to schlep to court, if she gets divorced, that she wouldn't get married in the first place, she'd be less inclined. So that's why this still reason would apply. But according to the case of lo rotzeh, so grusha nalech malei. So the man, the garush, is not interested. Not interested. Yes, there's a mitzvah called machzer grushaso. There's a mitzvah that the Torah suggests if one could do that as long as she didn't marry anybody in between. But the mitzias is, the reality is that most of the time, gerushins don't end so peacefully. And therefore, lichwasle, so we don't assume that the man will be so concerned about the busha of his wife. Tanan. So, one second, the Mishnah says, which Mishnah? The next Mishnah. On the bottom of this Amud, the Mishnah says, the last line of the Mishnah, v'grusha lo timkar el bebezdin. A grusha has to sell in Beis Din. So, who is that going like? So, Bishlam Alamanda Amar Lefisha Ein Adam Rotze. Shetispazu Ishtaba Beis Din. According to that reason, that it fits in. We just said, grusha loich basle. Right? Grusha is not good. The first Mishnah that we just did is talking about, let's say, an Almana. And here, which it said, and the next one is talking about grusha. Elamanda Amar Yishem China Grusha Nami Bayachain. But if you say the reason is chayin, as we just explained, then a grusha also, you know, would require chayin, and we should be nervous that she's not going to get married in the first place. So Gemara says, Amani Rabbi Shimon, that next mission is Rabbi Shimon. Remember Rabbi Shimon said, Rabbi Shimon says if she's not collecting mizonos, she does not get, she has to do it outside of, she has to do it in Beis Din. She's only ksuba. So there, the grusha is not getting mizonos, therefore she does it in Beis Din. So Gemara says, I Rabbi Shimon, hatana le'resha. But we just had that in the first Mishnah. Mene Erisin lo timkar, chulu. Right, Rabbi Shimon already announced, if you're only collecting suba, so you have to do it in Beis Din. So, grusha is a repeat of the line. Why does he have to have two consecutive Mishnayas? The first Mishnah is talking about Minha Erisin. The second Mishnah is talking about grusha. But both of them are not collecting mizonos. So why do you have to say both of them? So Gemara says as follows. Mao detema, you might say, Almana Mene Erisin, hu delo nafish chen dida. Almana Mene Erisin was never married. Was never married. Rashi says there was never chibas bia. And therefore, we're not so nervous that women are going to say, oh, married, and look what happens after a marriage. We're not so nervous about that. Aval grusha, denafish chedida. But by a grusha, she was fully married. So you know what people are going to say? People are going to say she was fully married and she has to schlep to court? Oh, forget it. I'm not getting married. So that's what you might have thought by grusha, even though she's only collecting suba, she's allowed to do it outside of Beis Din. So you might say she doesn't have to do it, and that's why Rav Shimon has to say the second line, the second Mishnah too, about grusha. Says the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. What do you mean? But Rav Shimon generalizes it in the last line of the first Mishnah. He says, Kol She'ein La Mizonos. That's general line. La Suye Mai. So what is that including? Lav La Suye Grusha. Isn't that including grusha? So again, the next Mishnah is extra. So the Gemara says, Lo. La Suye Mugureshes Ve'einu Mugureshes. Is exclude, it's including in that line a suffix. Migureshes. Because what's the halakha that's like migureshes? What's the case? A man throws his wife a get, safik harav lo, and then it gets burned up, so you're not sure if she's divorced or not. So what's the halakha there? Kid Rabbi Zera. Dom Rabbi Zera. Kol makom shamru migureshes ve'ena migureshes, baal chay b'mezonosel. When it's a safik gerishin, so what's the chazaka? The chazaka that is that she's married. The safik is whether that she's not married anymore. So the halakha is the husband still has to feed her. So that only applies while the husband's alive. When the husband's not alive anymore, then the Safik Mugureshes then collects Ksuba, and because she's an Almana, right? And then there's no more Mizonas, and that's what Rabbi Shimon's referring to, that if it's only Ksuba now, you could do that only in Beis Din. So, but a real Gerishin, maybe not, maybe there'll be a difference in Halacha. Good. Tosfos and Rashi discuss a problem. To look at Tosfos, Yir Maschal La'asuye, in La'asuye Pirish HaKuntris, the Agav Urechei Kamashman, the Megureshes, Vein Megureshes, Ein Agov Mezonas Min HaYisomim. Vizui Milsa De Pshita. The misafik shema mugureshes gemura isa lototzi mizos ben ayisomim. Isn't it obvious, yes, Tosfos, that he dies, the money is so yes, he when he's alive, the husband, then he has tanai ksuba. He has safik chiyuvim. So we'll say you have to pay. But once he dies, now it's the yisomim's money. Hamosim echaver levaraya. So Rashi does here discuss whether it is you really need a chiddush to tell me that she's not going to collect mizonos anymore. That's a question in the Achronim. Why isn't this just regular hamosi mechaveru? Okay, Tashma Vayter Kashem Shemacher Shlo Bebezdin Kaf Yorshel Yorshik Subasa Mochrin Shlo Bebezdin. So there's a brisa that says her yarshim also can do it outside of Bezdin. So again, Bishlam Alaman Dharma Lafish Ein Adam Rotzeh Shedisvazo Ishto Bezdin Kihechi. So according to that reason, Kihechi to Ihi Lo Nichalei the Tisbizi. Just like the husband doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed, Yarshehanami Lo Nichalei the Livzu. So he doesn't want the children either to have to schlep to Bezdin. El Alaman Dharma Misham China Yarsheh My Chenika. But if the reason is Chen, what does that have to do with the boys? What does that do with the children? Right? Why should they have to be able to do it outside of Bezdin? Answer, Tirka Ma'ula Kagosha Yerashata Bita Alachosa. Maybe it was females. It was females getting it, so then there's an issue of Chen too. Because if they know, it's all bad, they know they're not going to want to get married, if they know that their daughters or their children are not going to be able to collect it outside of Bezdin. So there's an issue of Chen there as well. Period. Says the Mishnah. Machra, this is all about rights of an almana, a grusha, a woman, to the tanai ksuba afterwards, after the husband dies. So machra ksubasa o miksasa, what if she sold some property for her ksuba or for part of her ksuba? Mishkana ksubasa, or she gives it as a security. O miksasa, nasna ksubasa la acher, she gives the rights to someone else. O miksasa, lo timkar es ashar ela bebezdin. She could only sell the rest in Bezdin. Rashi quotes the Gemara that we're going to see, Bezdin, tomorrow. And that is, this is according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the one that says, once she starts selling part, she loses mizonos. No more mizonos. That's Reb Shimon Shita. Therefore she has to sell the rest in Bezdin, as Reb Shimon said. Reb Shimon says, you're only collecting suba, you got to do it in Bezdin. V'chachavim omrim no, mocheresi afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim. Right, she could do little by little, piecemeal, she could sell it for a ksuba even at different times, and she could collect in between mizonos. Right, selling part of the ksuba doesn't mean you lose mizonos. Umacheres lemizonos shelo bebezdin, v'koseves lemizonos macharti. And she writes that. V'grusha lo timkar lo bebezdin. That was that last line that we already said, is going back for Reb Shimon Shita. Last section. Masnisan mani, as we just said. I'm sorry, was Rashi, I thought it was gonna, no, we're gonna get to it. Let's just do this line. Masnisan mani Reb Shimon Shita, tanya, machra ksubasa, mishka ksubasa, asa ksubasa potiki la'acher. You make the ksuba designated for someone else. Ein la mizonos. You lose mizonos in that case. If it's the whole ksuba, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ava Bishlom Machra Velo Mishkan Ksubasa Ela Machatzisa of the ksubasa. Of the mizonoseha. She even loses the mizonos if she started. Period. Interesting machlokes. What is that about? What is that about? The Chachamim say as long as the ksuba, you have some ksuba left, you could still take mizonos. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, right when you have a little bit, right? What is the collection of the ksuba, is that a gemar? Now we're completing this talich of ishus. The husband died. They're not married anymore. But maybe there's still vestiges of the marriage. After all, there's still a ksuba connected. So as long as there's vestiges of the marriage, the Chachamim say, there's still mizonos, there's still chiyuvim. Until it's finished. Once it's completed, that's it. And Rabbi Shimon might say that no, once the ksuba starts to be paid, that's already it. That's already it. Again, you can give it a little lumdis, to figure out exactly what the machlokas is about. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And Beth Shem, we will continue tomorrow's daf as we continue here in Almana Nizonis. Okay, we'll stop here.